Okay, we're on. Today's daf is Ksuvas Daf Pei Hei. Ksuvas Daf Pei Hei. We touch on some major Shas topics today, a little bit, as much as we can in the time that we have allotted. Tomorrow there's more. Tomorrow we also have Mechila Shtaros and Kfi and Al Mitzvah Sekof and Al Mitzvah Saseh. Next couple of days really has some major topics coming up. Okay, so today we're going to start with Pei Dalet Amud Beis, where it says Debei Nesia, about 8 lines up from the bottom on Pei Dalet Amud Beis. Story, says the Gemara, Debei Nesia Tafus Amsa Deyamsmi Misimta. So remember that yesterday's Mishnah on Amud Aleph discussed if a man dies and he leaves over certain possessions, and there are a number of people who wanted a part of these possessions. There are inheritors, there are Yarshim, there are Balei Chovos, there are creditors, there's a wife. They all want a part of the possession. So we had a discussion, Machlokas, yesterday between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfin. If they are Tofes, let's say they are Metaltalin, and one of them is Tofes, so what happens to the Mosar? So the extra that was grabbed above and beyond what was owed. So that was a Machlokas. Rabbi Tarfin says it goes to the Koshal Shebehen. We have 2 days what that means. Rabbi Akiva says, no, you can't be Tofes at all. So that was the Machlokas discussed in a number of stories on yesterday's daf. So now we continue. The Bei Nesia Tafas Amsa Diyasmi Bisimta. The Bei Nesia, the house of the Nasi, was owed money by a certain person, and they went to grab the maidservant of Yisomim from a Simta. As we had yesterday, a Machlokas within Shitas Rabbi Tarfin. Rabbi Tarfin, who says that Tfisa would work, you would be able to grab from where? So the top of the Amud, we had a Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel and Reish Lakish, where Rav and Shmuel say that the grabbing only works from Rishus HaRabbe, but not from Isimta. While Rabbi Yochanan earlier, sorry, where is it? Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, Amri Chavaya Bila Basimta. They held that even from a Simta, even from a semi-private area, and you might have said that that already belongs to the Yarshim. No, it could even be Tofis from there. So these Beit Nesia grabbed from a Simta. They were assuming, like Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish's view within Rabbi Tarfin, that Tfisa, grabbing it, could work even in a Simta. Yosef, Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha, they were all sitting. V'Yosef, Rabbi Abba Gabayu. Rabbi Abba was sitting with them. Amar Lahut, Rabbi Abba says to these Rabbanan, Shaper Tafsi Tuha. What the Higra, they grabbed it, so it's theirs. This is Balei Chovos. There are a lot of Gibeon from a Simta, like Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish said before. Amar Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Abba says to them, Mishum Debei Nesia Ninhu Mach Nefisu Lahu. Just because it was the house of the Nasi that were doing the grabbing, you're trying to flatter them, you're trying to give them things that try to find favor in their eyes? What do you mean? V'adon dayni k'Rabbi Tarfon. One time, the judge is just like Rabbi Tarfon, that Tfisa would work. V'yahadri Reish Lakish Adaminayu, Rabbi had earlier. Reish Lakish says, no, you got to return it. The halacha is like Rabbi Akiva, that you can't do any Tfisa. Forget the more makel shita within Rabbi Tarfon. We pass on like Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, Tfisa does not work. Period. Okay, that story. Next story. Next, Yemar Bar Chashu, 4 lines to the bottom. Yemar Bar Chashu havi masik bezuze behu gafra. Yemar Bar Chashu was owed money, literally masik bezuze, he was biting, his money was biting, he was owed money by a certain person. Shachi b'shava gafra, arva. So that person died, the lova died, and he left a boat. Left a boat. Amar le shluchei, so if Yemar says to his shliach, let's be medayik in those words, we'll come back to that. He says to his shliach, zil tafsa nihile, go grab it for me. Go grab it for me. Get me that boat. Ozal tafsa. So he went and grabbed it. Fine. Pagu be Rav Papa Rav Huna Rav Yeshua. We're going to read the whole story and then we're going to come back and speak about each part. Rav Huna, Rav Papa, and Rav Huna Rav Yeshua met this person who just grabbed the boat. Amrule, they said to him, you're not allowed to do that. At tofes lebal chov b'makam shachov l'acherim. You are grabbing something for a creditor when there are other creditors involved. The Amar of Yochanan and the halacha is hatovis lebalchov b'makam shachov l'acherim lo kana. If there is many balei chovos and one of the balei chovos, if somebody grabs something for one of the balei chovos, it doesn't work lo kana. If there are 10 balei chovos, if there are 10 creditors, and one of the creditors actually goes and grabs something, fine, he could keep it. But if somebody is for a creditor, somebody grabs like a behalf of the creditor, lo kana, doesn't work. Doesn't work. Lo kana, that's the halacha. Tovis the balchov, b'makam shachov l'acherim. If you grab for one balchov, the makam in a place where there are other balei chovos, lo kana. What? Oh, so we're going to get to that discussion in a minute. What about a shliach? Most Rishonim say, even with a shliach. Even with a shliach, this halacha applies. That's what Rov Rishonim say. So how could you grab this boat? So Tafsu, so he said, okay, I didn't know, so he let it go. So what happens? Tafsu Inu, so they went and grabbed it. Because they were other creditors of this person, so they went and grabbed the boat themselves. Rav Papa Mimlach Meluche, Rav Papa started rowing the boat. Rav Huna, by the Malachim, in Tanakh are sailors. It says by Yonah, Malachim, I think Rashi quotes it. Rashi quotes that Vayiru HaMalachim, they feared. So Rav Papa started rowing the boat. Rav Huna Bered Yeshua Mimtach LaBashloi. He started pulling the boat. So one was inside the boat and one was outside the boat. Mar Amar Anakanina Lakula, Mar Amar Anakanina Lakula. They each were saying, I was Konit. They were just trying to grab it for themselves. So let's just finish the story. Pagabara Pinchas Bar Ami. Pinchas Bar Ami meets them. Amar Lahu, he said to them, neither of you are correct. Why? Because you have to. It has to be in Rishus Harabim. The boat has to be in Rishus Harabim. And didn't you find it like on the edge by the port? That's not Rishus Harabim. And didn't Rabbi Shmuel say yesterday that you can only grab it from Rishus Harabim? So I'm like, oh no, ananami micharifusa denara tafisna. We did grab it. We did grab it from Rishus Harabim. We grabbed it from a place where the middle. It was already in the middle of the river. The Tosfos Rashi says it was already there when the person died. So you know, so it was like a Rishus Harabim. So therefore, we didn't have a problem in grabbing it. Let's finish the story. Again, there's a lot to talk about. Asu lakame de Rava. They came in front of Rava. Again, you have these two great rabbis that are trying to grab the boat. One of them had been rowing the boat, and one of them had been pulling the boat. They're each saying, "I was konit." So Aslan, they came in front of Rava, Amar Lahu, finally he says to them, Kaki Chivri, you white geese you, Mishalcha Glimi De Inshi, you're trying to grab off the clothing of men, Amar Rahachi, Amar Rav Nachman, Vushatavsa Mechaim. You're both wrong, because you had to be toe-faced it when the Lova was still alive, and because you didn't, so both of you are wrong. What do you mean white geese? Why do you call them white geese? Such an insulting term. So the Gilyan Ashasir, uncharacteristically, doesn't just say, Ayin Sham Mitzarchiyun. The Gilyan Ashas here, Rebbe Eger quotes a Pirush. Look at the Gilyan Ashas, Kaki Avazim, Rashi quotes his geese, Kina Osam Bahem Al Chachmasam. They were wise. It was kind of a hidden praise. Al Derech Isav Abrachas, as it says in Brachas, that if you see geese in a dream, you should expect to have a wise day. If you see white geese in a dream, Yitzap Al Chachma. That's what he was calling them, white geese. It wasn't an insult. It was kind of wise men. But it was wise men. What do you mean? He was telling them they were wrong. Either way, he was kind of saying that, you know, you're wise, but maybe here you have to think a little harder. I saw one of these Dafyomi sheets that he quoted the Nesivus from Baba Basra, Abacham Elisa, who said maybe white geese also, because geese is usually an animal that you fatten up. You fatten up until so you're able to eat it. A stuffed goose. But if you overstuff them, then you damage them. You ruin their intestines, and they start losing weight, and they're ruined. So too with chachma, you have to stuff yourself with chachma and make sure you have everything. But you have to make sure that you understand. You can't just like keep taking in without having proper understanding and knowing what the halacha is. Okay. He said something else also. I don't exactly remember. Okay, let's go back to the story for a minute. So Yerach Hashu told this guy to go get the boat, and he goes gets the boat, and they meet these two rabbis, and they say, what do you mean? You're not allowed to do this. Hatovis of Balachov, Shabakam Shachov Lachayrim. You can't grab it, but Makam that there are other Balachovos. So therefore, he let it go. So the Rishonim here ask on Shitas Rashi. Rashi, in Mesechas Vav Metzia, says what Michael just asked, and that is, if the person makes a shliach, this halacha doesn't apply. Shlucha Shalom Kamoso. We know that a shliach is like the person himself. So if I'm allowed to grab something, but makom shachov lacherim, so then my shliach is also, says Rashi. Rov Rishonim say, no, there's still a difference between a shliach and yourself. But she says Rashi in Baba Metzia says, but makom shachov lacherim, that principle does not apply when there's a shliach involved. So Tosas Dibur Maschel At says, Kan mashma, tiafa gav daso shliach. In our case, what does it say? It says here, he said to his shliach, asil shluchei, go get it. And the Gemara said it's not good enough. So here's mashma against that Rashi. Av gav daso shliach, bar mele zil tafse, even though you tell your shliach, afilo achi lokana. It's still no good. Veloka moshe pirish bekuntris. Not like Rashi says in Bab Matsiyah, tadafka bishlo aso shliach lokana. So, he says that, seems to be against Rashi. That is what Tosfos did not answer the question. So the question is, how do you defend Rashi? Rashi, again, seems to say in Bava Metzia that this principle does not apply where you appoint the shliach. When you appoint the shliach, it's like you're there, and if you're like you're there, you're allowed to grab something. you're allowed to break up in Bakr Chachov Lacherim. So a couple of answers given. The Shita Mekubetzes here says, look, if you're Medayik in Rashi, Rashi leaves out one word. Our Gersin, the Gemara, on the first wide line says, Zil Tafsa Nihale. Go grab it for me. Nihale, for him. Rashi leaves out that word Nihale, for him. Rashi just says, Zil Tafsa. So what does that mean? So the Shita Mekubetzes suggests that really, he did not make him a shliach here for this specific act. It was a shliach that he did other things for him. It was his, you know, he always sent him to do errands. But he didn't tell him to specifically go grab this for him. Ela ishlucho yadua bedvar macherim, v'yamalei zil tafsa, he said go grab it. V'loz amalei beferish yehebim komo, v'yitfasena ba'avuro. Ela shiitfas, he says, you know what, go grab that thing for me, okay? You go get that? He didn't say, for me in lieu of my chov, in the to get it. He didn't say any of that. So he was a shliach, but not a shliach specifically for this act. V'shuv yomar lo l'may bar, and I'll tell you later, you know, go get it, and later I'll explain to you why you're getting it. But he didn't say it beferish. That's what I think, says the Shita Mekubetzes. I would think what Rashi means in this case. The Pnei Yeshua does not quote the Shita, but he quotes something similar. That again, he wasn't a full shliach. V'hita ha'chalabas o shliach l'zakos derech z'chiyah. It wasn't a regular shliach. He didn't even know there were only bali chovos. Go get that thing for me. For sure, if he makes it a real shliach, shluchu shadonim kamoso. And you can't argue with that, says the Pnei Yeshua. And I don't know what the other Rishonim are holding. I think the shliach is right. So that's number one, the Shita Mekubetzes, expanded upon by the Pnei Yeshua, that you're right, in a regular case of shlichus, it would work according to Rashi, but this case is not a regular case of shlichus. A second approach, which is maybe the most pashtus, is the Tosfos HaRash. The Tosfos HaRash says, really it would work. The shliach would work. But these two rabbis who met him either didn't know that he had been made a shliach. He said, hey, what are you doing? I told him he's the Baal Chov. He didn't know he was a shliach, or they knew, but they wanted to get it themselves. They wanted to say, oh, what do you mean? What are you doing? I don't want to say this is the machlokus we've shown him in the Gemara. You could also say that. But that's unusual. He quoted the Tosfos HaRash says, "Umori Nero Omar Tlo Kashra." They said it Mishum Mili Ba'alma Kadeshi Tafsuheim. They wanted to get it. They wanted him to get off the property. So they said, "Get out of here." Oinami. They didn't know that he was a shliach. So those are the two other ways to suggest. But there is a third idea, and that is from the Shach in Choshe Mishpat. Choshe Mishpat, the beginning of Simen Kuf Hei, where this halach is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, HaTovis Malachov Bachos Shachov L'Acherim, and the Shulchan Aruch, by the way, paskins against Rashi, V'yafilu Asa'o Shliach, right, even by a Shliach, HaTovis Malachov does not work. The Shulchan Aruch does say an Aputropis would work. An Aputropis would work, even though, because that's Yad Ba'alim, but a Shliach wouldn't work. That gets into Sugyas from Misachas Kiddushin, the difference between an Aputropis, a legal guardian, for a yasom versus a shliach. How much is apotropis connected to shlichus? If you look in Maseches Kiddushin, the beginning of the second parak, on the second blot, it seems to have a separation between a shliach and apotropis, because there's three different stages, zechia, shlichus, and apotropis. That's membeis or so in Kiddushin. But here with Machalik, an apotropis is kind of even though a shliach wouldn't be koneh. But on that Shulchan Aruch, the Shach discusses this problem with Rashi. Rashi seems to say a shliach would work. Our Gemara seems to say not. What do you do with Yemer Bar Choshu, this Gemara? So the Shach says, no. The difference is, when did Rashi say a shliach would work? Only if you hire a shliach. Because then it's like a poel, a worker. And Yad Poel ki Yad Balabayas. If you hire a worker, that's more powerful, and that's what Rashi means. That's what the Shach says. Masha Kasev, where is it? Nirlani is Daiti, the Kavanas Rati Pshita, to be Dur Bidibura Ba'almash, Omerlo Latofes Lavi Shliach. If you just say it, and he says it, that's not what Rashi means. Kavanas Rashi, Isha Scharo Lalakate. Right, he hired him out. The nimsa the havi shlucho, the kivich eschar liyo shlucho, havi yado ki yado, kein nearly kavanas Rashi. That's the pshat. So number one, maybe our Gemara is not a real shliach. That's the Pnei Yeshua and the Tumah Gabbat says. Number two, maybe he was a real shliach, but they were tricking him, or they didn't know. Number two. Number three is the shach, that really, when did Rashi meet in Abba Metzia, if he hired him as a shliach? Because then that's not just a shliach, that's a poel, that's a worker, and yad poel, ki yad balabayis, and therefore there's more power by a poel than by a balabayis. I think somewhere in Erevin, we mentioned, it wasn't Erevin, in the Lamids, we mentioned the tshuva, and I'll mention now, from Rav Sternbach, from Shuvas Vahanagos, where he discusses the shach. Where does he discuss the shach? He discusses whether it's appropriate, the minhag of Klal Yisrael, to pay the Rav for selling the chametz. Mechiras Chametz. That's the minhag of Klal Yisrael. So is that appropriate, and is it recommended? And he said, yes, it's for sure not only appropriate, but you should do it. Why should you do it? B'makom acher hevesi sheroi dafka. This is in Chelek Beis, Simen Reish Yud Ches. Beis Reish Yud Ches. Where the Rav Sturbach writes, you should pay the Rav. Why? Because in Erevin, it said, that's what we discussed this. In Erevin, it talks about whether you say Chazaka Shliach Osa Shlichuso. And the halacha is, you say that, anybody remember? You say that by Darabanan, and not by Daraisis. You can assume the shliach did it by dinim darabana, but by dinim daraisa, the Gemara says we don't rely. It's a machlokas in the Gemara, but that's what we paskin. Chazaka shliach osa shlichuso by dinim darabana, not by dinim daraisa. So ask Rav Sternbach, so you make the rav your shliach to sell your chametz. How do you know he did it? He's a special type of shliach because he's the rav. How do you know he did it? So he says v'tamua shachazaka zaslamo b'daraisa. So therefore he says v'yalkein mishalim l'rav schar v'ashu kapoel v'adif mishliach kimabur b'shach simin kufhei. Like our shach says, because if you pay the rav, then he's not just like a shliach, he's like a poel, and by a poel it works even mida oraisa. V'yimkein midino roi l'shalim l'rav dafka. And then he says, aye, what about if a rav has a salary from the shul anyway? So he's being paid anyway. So he says, no, I don't think other reasons you should dafka pay for this, because this is for a specific tafkid that he is doing. Who said that selling the chametz is within his achrayus? So either way, he thinks in this tshuva based on this shach. So the shach answered Rashi, and Rav Sternbach used this also to explain our Gemara. Okay, there's a discussion. Why can't a tofis abachu makom shachov lacherim? Why wouldn't that work in general? Even if you don't have a shliach. So there's a discussion in the Achronim where the Pnei Yeshua mentions maybe it's a shlichus l'dvar avera discussion, where how can you grab something if it's not actually yours and it's for somebody else? But so, well, that's a discussion in the Achronim. Where this does come up, I didn't bring any tshuvas regarding it, but it does come up. Let's say you're saving a seat for somebody somewhere. Hatovis l'bal chov v'makom shachov l'acherim. Someone says a parking spot. They're coming in 2 minutes, but I'm here now. What do you mean? So you get into discussions. It's not for me. Hatovis l'bal chov v'makom shachov l'acherim. When does that come up? Halakha l'maisa. Okay, so that was the beginning of the Gemara. So we continued the Gemara, so what happened? So he let it go, and these two other rabbis started grabbing it. Rav Papa, one started rowing the boat, one started pulling the boat. So it's interesting, Meiri here. The Meiri here says, how do you usually do a kinyan on metaltolin? What's the kinyan metaltolin? Usually do mashiach, kinyan mashiach on it. So neither of these people were doing mashicha. One was pulling the boat in the water. One was rowing the boat. What were they doing? So he says, Yireli on misug yizu. Yireli always means it's his own svara. Yireli, mostly the Rambam. The Meiri says, you know what you see from here? If a Baal Chov is tofes metaltalin of a yasom, ainat srichin kinyan gomor, kedarche aknoyos. You don't need normal kinyanim, because you see from here, they didn't lift it up, they didn't pull it normally. Shari svina, shein dasachar is makna osa, shikne bibisir, tsarachu bala mashicha, umashicha ain't a kona versus a rabbin. Not only does, okay, you want to say he's pulling the boat, but what was the maskana? They got it in versus a rabbin, in the middle of the water. And that mashicha doesn't work in versus a rabbin, it only works in one of the rishus of the original owner. Veim hayu machazrim lazakos atzmam. How did it work? It must be in these types of this context where you're trying to get it from, you want to prevent it from going to Yarshim, you don't need regular Darkei Kinyanim. But what, so if you don't need regular Darkei Kinyanim, who wins? So you have to look at which one is a Tfisa Barura Yoser. You have to look, you have to be subjective. The Dayan has to decide which one has a greater tfisa. Yeah, which one? So what would you say? The one rowing in the boat, the one pulling the boat. Which one would you say? So again, similar, Gemara and Kiddusha discusses. What about if somebody is riding a horse and somebody is pulling a horse? So which one is showing a greater horaz bailus on that? So here too, the dying would have to decide. Either way, both of them were wrong, they said, because you had to grab Michayim, because the halacha is like Rebbe Akiva. And we spoke about the white geese. Next story. Abimi, about the 10th line. Abimi, in the town of Rabbi Yavo, owed money to somebody in Chozoi. So what did he do? Shadrinu biad chama braid de rabba bar avo. So he sent the money to repay the loan in the hands of someone, in the hands of Hishliach, go repay my loan. Also parinu, he went and he paid it up. And after he paid it up, he said to them, Amrlo, havali shtara. Okay, could I have the shtar back? I pay the money, so now give me the shtar, so I can rip up the shtar. So my mishaleach, won't won't have to pay again. Amrule sitroi ninhu. They said to him, sitroi. What does sitroi mean? Rashi explains, mitzad acher. Literally, like a sitra. What's a sitra? The sitra achra, right? The evil side. A sitra means a side. Sitroi, mitzad acher, from another side. What are they saying to him? Really, your mishalech owed us two loans. Two loans. So we'll accept this for the milveh alpeh that he owed us. He owed us in milveh alpeh and milveh bishtar. So we'll accept this for the milveh alpeh and we'll keep the shtar. Okay, so it's you could go back and tell him that. Yeah, that's going to make him happy. So Asa Lekam says he's very upset about this now. This shliach, Asa Lekam, there'll be a vow. So now he brings it to court. He's like, there'll be a vow. He says, what are these guys doing to me? I paid them. I want the shtar back. So Amalei, Isla Chasadeh de Baratenu. So he says to this poor shliach, do you have Edim? Did you pay him in front of witnesses? So Amalei lo, he says, no, I just paid them. So Amalei, so Rabbi Avo says back to him, sorry, migu diyachol lomar lo haydar me'olam. So basically, they could deny ever getting paid. There were no Edim here. So since they could say lahadam lo haydar me'olam, the yachol nami lameimer sitroi ninu. So they could also say sitroi. They could also say, you know, we did get paid, but it was for another loan. So yeah.
Before you get to that, he could have said I never owed that money.
You're right, he could have said he never owed the money, but he didn't.
He has to prove that.
What do you mean? Who's the muchsak now? Who's the muchsak now? They're the muchsak. They're the muchsak.
What do you mean? You walk over to somebody, you owe me money. You walk over to
you're right, so if you walk over to somebody, you owe me money, that's nothing. Here it didn't happen. Here he paid him first. Here he paid him first, and then he says, got the star back, and they say, well,
why should he lose out? He has such a winning argument.
Who has the winning argument here? Right now. Let's look at it right now. They come to court. Rav is, right, this shliach is bringing these guys to court. He says, I just paid these guys, and they're lying. And they can say, what are you talking about? You didn't pay us anything. We're holding our money now in our wallets. What are you talking about? You didn't pay us anything. So right now, they have the winning hand. Their hand is on the upper. So they're going out of the way. You're right. You paid us. But you know what? It was another loan. So they're doing him a favor. They're doing him a favor now by admitting. So that's what the Rav says. They have a migu here. So therefore they could say, sitroi. The shliach is like an eidach. So they have to take a shvua, but it's a migu. Migu makam shvua, migu makam eidim. We're gonna get to that in a minute. So it says the, what? So we'll talk about that in a minute. The ritva. So he says, so Arevo says to them, they have a migu. Migu, they could say, the Rishonim say, though, that saying sitroi would not work, maybe this is related to your point, without the migu. They couldn't just say it was for another loan. They need the power of the migu. Because sitroi isn't such a powerful, isn't a perfect claim. The Rosh says, because most people take care of their milva bishtars first, before their milva alpes. The Rosh's lashon is, Delav Taina Ma'al Yasahi, the Yoser Baratzon Adam Porea Milva Bishtar, Mi Milva Alpeh. So when the people are getting it, you could assume that the Lova is paying his Milva Bishtar first. So Sitroi isn't such a great claim, but says the, that's why you would need the Migu to win. So let's just finish the story for a minute and then we'll talk more about it. Lin Shlume Shliach Mai. So the Shliach was stuck. Shliach was stuck. The problem is now, does the Shliach owe the Mishaleach money? There's a shliach to pay back, because now he messed up the mishaleach. Because you're right, the mishaleach could have said, you know, I don't know what you're talking about, if you would have paid him for the milva bishtar. So Mai, what's the halacha there? So Amar Rav Ashi, chazid on yisi, I amar leishkol shtar v'hav luzuzei mishalim. If the mishaleach, this sender, had originally said, bring back my shtar and pay money, in that order. Mishalim, so then he has to, the shliach messed up, so he has to pay. But if the Mishleach told the Shliach first, pay, and then get my shtar, lo Mishalim, he does not have to pay. So Rabashi says, maybe it's split, it depends what he said. But lo, in the Gemara ends off, no, it doesn't really make a difference what he said. Either way, the Shliach messed up here, he has to pay. Why? Because the Mishaleach could say to him, I sent you to do something good for me, not to mess me up. So, umdura, you have to use your head. You have to use your brain a little bit. So therefore, shlichus is not just exactly what you told him to do, but you have to use your brain. That's why, let's say, a katan is a lav bar shlichus. Because a lav bar deya, shliach is not just somebody who does exactly what he's supposed to do, but he has to also know the message of behind what he's trying to do. And therefore, the shliach would have to pay in any case here. 2 points here. The Ritva says, mikan shaminan. From here you see, shamina mehacha. Sher Ruven shechayev l'Shimon shnei chovos uparustam. Let's say Ruven owes Shimon two loans, and he paid him without specifying. Says the Ritva, it's the Malve's Rishus to decide which loan this is getting paid for. Sher Rishus biad Shimon amalve litvos bem leizah chov sheyirtzek kivashi giyas banam lefroa. As long as they both do. As long as both loans are due, it's the Malva's choice to decide if the Lova did not specify, right? Because he's from this Gemara. This Gemara that they have the power to say, oh, this was from the previous loan, and now you still owe us the Milva Bishtar. Again, the Rosh might say otherwise, some Mefarshim explain, but that is clear in the Ritva.
In that case, where they didn't give that Bishtar,
right?
The Shtar was only for one loan. So why should they prove that he owns them for something else, because they don't have a shtar for a second loan.
They should prove, that's true, if they would have to prove it before the guy paid them. I mean, if you come over to me and say, you owe me $100, I say, I know, I do owe you, here it is, the money. See, after I pay you, it's tough luck on me. If I would have denied it in the first place, you're right, you would have to prove it. But here, he paid him. The shliach shouldn't have done that. You're right, but now you have to know, who has the money now? Who's the muchzak? Who's the burden of proof now on the other guy, the payer?
But those people, they didn't deny in front of a judge that they weren't paid.
They just came and the malvet, look, maybe they're telling the truth. Maybe the guy really owes them two loans. Right? So the guy comes and says, here's the loan that I owe you. And they say, thank you very much. This is for the loan that was milva alpeh. Now you have to maybe the other loan. You're right, they didn't deny. They weren't asked. The guy didn't ask them.
But they don't have a shtar for another loan.
It doesn't matter. So there are shtaros without, there's a concept of a milva alpeh. There's a concept of a loan not written. Right, somebody will call in shul, could you lend me $10? So you give it to him without writing it. There's a concept of that. So it's unusual. That's what the Rosh says. It's unusual. You need this halakhic mechanism called migu to give you power. But that's the case. That's what we originally said. Maybe the Mishaleach should have been more specific. But then the Gemara says, no, the Mishaleach should have known that he should take precautions. Before you pay Sadiq, you better get the Shtar back. I'm sorry? Or bring Edom when he pays. Or have Edom pay in front of Edom. Either way, don't do something that might be able to be misconstrued afterwards. What? Is he getting paid? Then he gets into a Powell, not a Shliach, like we just spoke about. I don't know. The Rishon, though, here also ask. Is this, there are different rules about migu. There is a principle, migu lahotzi lo amrinon. You don't say a migu to be motzi mamon. Usually migu is to believe a woman that she was in neveles. We had all the migos in the first, then in the first parak, then in the second parak. You don't say migu lahotzi. There's a discussion if you do. Many of you showed him say you don't say migu lahotzi mamon. And here what's happening, there's a migu lahotzi. The people are going to collect again. So it's a migu lahotzi. So a couple of answers. The Hagos Hashri here on the Rush says it's not a migu lahotzi. You know why? Because Shani Hacha Diika Shtara. There's a shtar here. So what does that mean? These people are holding the shtar. The shtar is shibudim. It's as if it's kind of collected already. So that's why the Bala Shtar is not totally motzi. He's kind of a muchzuk. He's kind of a muchzuk too, so it's not a migul lahotzi. You don't see a migul lahotzi if the person who was saying the migul was holding a shtar, number one. The Ramban, though, in Baal Basra has a beautiful answer. The Ramban says, no, what's going on here? He has the migu. Why the migu work? The migu work for why I'm allowed to believe him that this money was for the other loan. But why am I being able to be motzi now? Because of the shtar that I have. I have a shtar on you. I'm not using the migu to be motzi. I use the migu to be machzik the money that I already have. And now I'm using the shtar to be motzi on the other loan. So it's not a migul lahotzi. Those are two things. The Hagos Hashri here and the Rabban there. One final one, and then we'll continue. The Me'iri, the Me'iri earlier, Maseches Ksubis, said there's a difference, we discussed this a little bit, between migu and Pesha Asar. Pesha Asar, Pesha Hitter. Remember back on Daf Chav Beis. Pesha Asar was a little different than a migu. If you got us into this problem, then you can get us out of the problem. So some suggest what we have here at Ar Gemara is kind of like a Pesha Asar. It wasn't like somebody came to court and said something and they could have said a better claim. But it might be like a Pesha Asar, which might even work Lahotzi. That was that's a discussion about, based on the Me'iri. Okay, let's continue and go to the next story. Hahi Itza. These are stories, but we'd call them halachic stories. Right? And they're not, I gotta tell, like Mar Ukva jumping into the oven. You know, it's not like those kind of stories, which, Manacha spoke about when I was in Israel. But Ahi Yitzah, these are halachic stories. There was a woman, so she had a bundle of shtaros by her. For some reason, she was holding 20 shtaros that said Reuven owed money from different people. She was holding it. And then Reuven died. Asu Yarshim Katavile Mine. So the Yarshim come and say to her, can we have our bundle? You know, you must have been a Shomeres for our father. Right? So, you know, can we have the bundle? Amra Lahu Mechayim Tafisna Lahu. She says, no, I grabbed them when he was still alive, meaning he owed me money. Tosis points out, she's not trying to collect with all these shtaris because they're not to her. They're not to her. There's a principle that we've mentioned, osios eina niknos b'mesira. If a shtar says, Reuven owes me $100, and then I give it to you, that doesn't work. I do a kinyan on it. So she's not trying, says Tosfos, she's not trying to say, I should get paid all these shtaris, but she's just holding it more as a mashkon. She's playing hardball with them. Tosfos, fourth or fifth skinny line. She's saying, you know, pay me what he owes me a certain amount of money, and I'm going to hold them until you pay me back. So as the Rav Nachman, Amar Allah is chasadit tavua minach b'chayim, v'lo yahavis niyalei. Rav Nachman says to the woman, do you have witnesses that during his lifetime he tried to get this bundle back from you and you didn't give it to him? Amar lo. So she says no. Imkay, so he replied, no, habi tfisa d'lachar misa, tfisa d'lachar misa lo klomu. No, so then if that's true, then it must be that you just grabbed this after he died, and after he died you can't grab it. Like we passed on Rabbi Akiva from yesterday. So therefore it doesn't work. Give back the bundle of shtaris to the Yarshim. Period.
She's not trying to grab it for herself. Trying to grab it just to use it for leverage again.
So she's just using it for leverage. Tosfos would have to say that even use grabbing it even just for leverage maybe would have to be done mechayim. Have to be done, right? Automatically, what was Rabbi Kiva Shitim yesterday? Automatically it goes to the Yarshim. Period. Automatically, items anywhere go to the Yarshim. Hayi, it's the next story. The Chai v'Shvua Beidina Derava. There was a woman who was Chai v'Shvua. Pashtus Shvua Daraisa. Right? Chai v'Shvua Daraisa. Amrulei Bas Rav Chizda. So Bas Rav Chizda, who's that? That's the wife of Rava. Right? Rava's wife said to Rava, Rava told his wife what was on the docket for that day. So-and-so is coming in. So Yadana Badakashuda Shvuasa. That woman's coming in. She is so chashid on Shvuas, you better not let her take a Shvua. She is suspect of making Shvuas, false Shvuas. The Ritva here quotes the Gaonim. She swears all day, that woman. I'm around her. Pirshua Gaonim. Shaisa Shomas Mimanash and Nishbas Kolayom Levatala. Lashav. You know what that woman does? You better not make her swear. So Afcha Shvua Lashvua Shekenegda. Important principle. Shvua, Rava therefore says, the person opposite her takes the Shvua. This is the principle talked about much in Mechoshen Mishpat of Mefech Shvua. If there is a problem with the person who's chayav to take a Shvua, we have the concept of throw the Shvua on the other person, on the Kenegda. That is the concept of Mefech Shvua. So here you have a Chashud. If somebody is a chashud, we don't want them to take a shvua because we don't want to cause a shvua levatala. So therefore, if you're chashud, we put the shvua on the other person. You're right, we're turning a shvua d'oraisa into a shvua d'rabanan because the shvua is chayv a shvua d'oraisa. It's nishma b'niftar, and now the other person has got to make the shvua nishma b'notel, but that's the principle of mefech shvua. So that's what Rava did. He did not let her, this woman who's chashud on a shvua, take the shvua. Later on in life, Zimna Haviyasi Kamidir Papa Ravada Barmasna. One time Ravada Barmasna were in the bezin of Rava. I saw who star got base. There was another star that came in front of Rava. Amale Rav Papa, Yadana be the Shar Priyahu. Rav Papa says, Rava, I know that star was paid up. I know it was paid up. You better not collect with that star. Amale Ike in Shakrina Badidamar. So he said, Rav Papa, is there anybody else with you that knows that it was paid up? So Amale Lower Papa says, no. So Amale, Alvakab Digamar, Idakalav Klumu. He says, Rav Papa, you're a great man. I love you very much. But you're an Eid Echad, I'm sorry. The star is two Eidim. The star is, I have to collect the star. You're only one person. So Amalei Rav Barmasa, Rav Barmasa was sitting there, and he says to Rava, V'lo yirav papa kabasar v'chizda, where papa's less than your wife. Well, you trust your wife. Your wife says, she's a chashid, so you'll believe your wife, and you don't make her take a shvua. You know, you make the other person take a shvua. Meanwhile, my good friend Rav Papa here says something, and you say, oh, sorry, you're an Eid Echad. What are you talking about? Well, she's less than your wife? So the Gemara answers, trying to figure out what this means. Bas Rav Chizda kimle begava. My wife, I'm kimli begava. Marlo kimli begave. What does that mean? I don't trust them. I trust my wife more than Rav Papa. Kimli begava. What exactly does that mean? So the Mefarshim explained, it can't be, I didn't trust Rav Papa. But it has to be something to the effect that, generally, you would not trust an Eid Echad. Wouldn't trust an Eid Echad. It's not like Rav Papa is worse than anybody else. But it's that his wife is better than anybody else. So what exactly does that mean? So there's a Rambam and there's a Rav Moshe. Mimosha and Moshe. It says about in the Rambam's kever. Mimosha and Moshe lokam kamosha. But they say about Rav Moshe Feinstein again. Mimosha and Moshe and Moshe lokam kamosha. Right? So I'll do the Rambam and the Rav Moshe. The Rambam says, interesting Rambam, in Perchav Dalit and Hilchas Sanhedrin. Yesh l'dayin l'adun dinei mamonis al pi advarim shedaitu nota lahen shehein emes. A dayan has to use his brain by dinei mamonis, and he can paskin based on what he thinks is true. V'adavar chazak b'libo shehu kein. Anything that his heart is telling him what's the halacha. Af al pi shein raya brura. Even though basically the dayan could go with circumstantial evidence by dinei mamonis if he really is convinced of it. Ve'ein sarach lomar mehu yodea bavada shadavar kein. Surely if he knows for sure shehu don kvi mashayada. Right? Surely that case. And the Rambam continues. So what do you need two witnesses for? When's that? So first of all, it's by non-dinim ominous, by knossos and by nefashos. But then he says, if a dying has no idea what happened, so then he'll trust two witnesses. But if he knows about it, by dinim ominous, says the Rambam, he could go based on his own inkling. That's a dying. Dayan's not, that's you and me, we're not Dayanim. Right? To be a Dayan, you gotta be somebody who knows about it. So the Rambam says, Nefashis, Malkus, Mamonis. For sure you need two witnesses. But when it comes to Dini Mamonis, if the Dayan knows that he could go based on what he thinks. And just before that, before you ask, Rav Moshe talks about this in a tshuva. Yaradeya, Chelek Aleph, Simin Nun Dalid. In the context, a bunch of tshuvas here about mashgichim. How do you trust a mashgiach? So here he says, "Be'inyan kimle begaval and emanus beisurin." Be'inyan kimle. He wrote this. It just says Luban, meaning that somewhere early in his life in Luban, Rav Moshe wrote this. And he says, "When I was in Moscow in Tough Race Tzadik Dalid, 1934, he was asked that there were many children who wanted to eat at their parents' houses, and the parents were treif." Maybe I ate an avail for treifus. But when the children came, many times they said they got kosher meat for the kids. So were the kids allowed to believe their Jewish kofar parents in terms of eating the meat? That was the shiloh that was given here. So says Rav Moshe, v'chidashti, sheish makam lahakel laharbi anoshim. So again, this is Rav Moshe with big plates on his shoulders. It seemed like this was a tzarach gadol at the time. He was meiko. Be'im ha'av yodeya, v'kimle begava. I'm sorry. The case was that the parents and the children. It was the opposite. The parents eating by the children. So he says, if the father knows the children, he knows them, that they wouldn't trick the father. Because you tested them many times. You know your daughter. You know what kind of person they are. And you know they have experience. He has experience that he would be telling them the truth. Mitam she never wants to let sorrow. She's not going to want to cause the father pain. Osha tiva shlo lahavir achir maldaitam yochol lismoch alei. He says you're allowed to do that. Why? Mishum shlo nichna zeh begeder ne'emanus. This is not called ne'emanus. Ella biyadia atzmis shehu kureiya mamish. If it's a family member that you know for sure, that's not just edus. That's yadia. You know for sure. Raya Gedola, says Rav Moshe, what's my Raya Gedola? Luban 100 years ago. Ksubis Pehe. Where he trusted Rav Papa more than his wife? What are they talking about? No, because Rav Papa, as great as he was a friend. And you can never have yidia. Well, you grew up in that. You grew up in the house of a friend. You know their friend. Okay, sometimes you can. But ain't sarach lomar the rabbi lomam and rapapa kabas rav chizda. But sarach lomar mitzad ne'emanus tainu she'eni yodeya b'yidia atzmes. He wouldn't have been able to trust his wife. Also, it was just an issue of ne'emanus. But if yodeya umakiras ha'ish be'etzem mitzad tifosav u'minhagav she'nisu harbi pa'amim. You tested him many times and he was trustworthy. That's a ne'emanus. That is ri'ya mamish. And that's what must be the pshat of trusting the wife in this case. Again, you have to know, very limited, when exactly this would apply. You know, this basically does not apply, Bisman Aseh. When is it going to apply? When is this ever going to apply? It doesn't apply to, it didn't apply to Rav Papa. Rav Papa didn't apply. Rav knew Rav Papa pretty well. He knew him pretty well. But, you know, so he knew him like a mashgiach, as a friend. But in a domet, the daughter of Rav Chizda, the wife of Rava, that was a great person. That was a great one. And he was tested 500 times. So if you tested 500 times, then that turns into yidia, and that's no longer atheist. That's the chiddush of Rav Moshe. Yeah.
Well, first of all, actually this time applies a lot, because when children become Baal Tshuva and come to their parents...
If children become Baal Tshuva and come to the parents, if
the parents right? Says, I bought,
Right, I bought. I have a case. I have a second cousin who married a ger. married a ger. So sometimes they go to the in-laws. When they go to the in-laws, so they get my cousin told me the greatest thing about marrying a ger is that the babysitting on Yom Kippur and Erev Pesach. It's great. So they're not in shul, and the in-laws are not in shul. There, so that's the greatest thing about marrying a ger. Anyway, so he said sometimes he goes there. So they come, and she says, you know, she made a separate kitchen in her house. The in-laws, the Christians, Italians. And and she says, I get the Jewish neighbor, to turn on the oven. So I guess once that happens, so does it even apply to a non-Jew? It applies to a non-Jew. So you're right. He says a number of times that you have to test it a bunch of times to make sure it was true. You have to make sure by experience, you know, that it's yidia and not just ri'ya. Yeah.
So this principle overrides the lashon hara that she said about this woman.
Is it lashon hara? She wasn't right. So some say, is it lashon hara? No, it was lahafrisha meisuro. That's what one of the rishonim say. It wasn't stam lashon hara. She was being malshin, but she didn't want Rava to have a hand in an eidah sheker in shvua sheker. So it wasn't lahafrisha meisuro. You might not trust somebody. Oh, it's not just stam being malshin, but it was lahafrisha meisuro, and that's why he was able to trust.
By the way, can he go against two eidim if he has a knowledge?
Can he go against two eidim? Good question. The Rambam in Hilchos Yisodei Torah calls two eidim gzeiras hakasav. But if there were two Adim, Lachor, the Dayan would probably have to re-research. Because you don't want to be maxed two Adim as liars. So you'd probably have to re-research the Din then in that case. But you're right, that would be very difficult if two Adim say against his gut feeling. But there is a concept called a Din Maruma. That if he knows something's fishy, he could excuse himself. He doesn't have to paskin. He's not allowed to paskin wrong, but he could excuse himself. I think something's wrong here, and you know, somebody else take the case. That's what he's allowed to do. Okay. Amar Rav Papa. So now Rav Papa says, Hasha damar ma kimli begave milsehi. Rav Papa says, once you say kimli begave, right, about, you Rava said it about your wife, so kagan abba mar bri. So abba mar, my son, kimli begave milsehi. Right? I'm sorry. To kimli begave, karana shtarapume. So I'm going to tear up a star based on his words if he said there's something wrong with it. Karana zagadadach, rip it up. Don't rip it up. El marana shtarapume. At least say it's not collectible. So that's what I'm going to do based on my son's ages. Fine. There was a woman that was chayiv, a shvua, in the bezin of Rabibi. So the person who she was obligated shvua to say, you know what, let's go swear in our hometown. The Ritva explains they both lived in a certain city and they were somewhere else. And he thought that if she was around her own in her hometown, she would be less likely to lie under oath. So he says, you know what, right, because generally you can't just slap somebody to a different city. So he said, let's go to our hometown and swear there. After the mix of Omodia, maybe she'll be embarrassed there and be Modia. Amr Lahu, so she says, fine. But Kisvali Zachvasa Dukhim Ishtaban al Yavili. Write me a document now in this Besdin that says I took a Shvua, and if I take a Shvua, I'm going to get the money, etc., etc., and just don't sign it. Write the whole shtar now so that when we get to the other court, they'll just have to sign it, and that's it. It'll be ready to collect. So Amr Lahu Rabbi Barabaya, Rabbi Barabaya says, Kisvula, fine. I agree. Write the whole shtar even though it did not take place yet. Just don't sign it. Amr Rav Papi, Mishum Dasisa, Mimulye, Amrisa, Mili Muyasa. Because you come from short people, you say short things. What do you mean? Short? You come from Beis Eli. Eli, right, beginning of Shmuel Aleph, that Eli was cursed, that his family was going to be cut off. So, you know, the Gemara says this a number of times. You said something without thinking. Ha'amar Rava, did a Rava say, Hayashrata Tadaini, Demichtava Mikami, Denechvi Sad, Yachazimas Yadayu. As we learned back in the beginning of, in the second parak, there's something called Kiyum Shtaris. When a shtar comes in front of court, Besdin has to stamp that these shtaris, these signatures are correct. Either they compare it to another shtar, or Adam come and testify about the signatures. So says the Gemara, is Bezin allowed to write a shtar, the Ishur, the stamp that says these are good signatures before the Adam testify that it's good signatures? Are they allowed to write that? Psula, no! You can't write something before it occurs. Alma Mechzik Shikra. See, you see, it looks like falsehood. How can I be Mechzik Shikra? So how could this woman, how could we give this woman a document that says she swore already when she didn't swear yet? So Valesa, the Gemara says, no, really, it's okay. They defend it. You could write it. Mid Rav Nachman, because we have another statement that Rav Nachman says. The Amr Rav Nachman says, Omer Ha'i Rav Meir holds. Afilu Matzah Ba'ashma V'chasma V'dasu La'kasher. Rav Meir says, even if you find a get in a garbage without signatures on it, and it happens to be the same name as the husband and the woman and all the nicknames, everything's the same, and the rivers and the cities, everything's the same. So you can pick it out of the garbage and sign it and give it to the woman, kosher. And even the other shita, Rabbanin, who argue under a mayor, say, El Begiti Nashim. They only say it's a problem by get to be an exiv l'shma, because a get even has to be written l'shma. Aval shtar sharos modilei. But by other shtaros, they admit it's okay, even though this document has nothing to do with the loan that took place. Tiyamar Ravasi, because Ravasi says, the Amar Davarasi Amar Biochanan, shtar shalovobo upra'o, let's say I lend you money, and you paid me back. Eino chosev alavobo. Can I lend you money again? Rashi says, let's say that same day. Let's say I lend you money in the morning, you pay me back in the afternoon, and now I want to lend you money again in the late afternoon. So do I? Can I use the same shtar, the same dates, the same amount of money? Says the Gemara, no, you can't. But why can't you? Because the shibud has already been nimchal. Rashi says, now this is a milva al peh. Because this shtar wasn't used for this loan. It's like a milva al peh, so the shibud was already nimchal. So time at the nimchal shibud, the only reason that you can't use it is because the shtar was nimchal. Aval mechzika shikra lo chashinon. But you're not worried about the mechzika shikra. So you see, you could write something even before it takes place. That's why in that case, you are allowed to write. Period. Okay. Same story coming up four times. Or three times. Here we go. Ahu gavra de'ifkid b'shev marganisa de'tsairi b'sadina b'rav meisha barbrei de'vshub ben Levi. There was a man who was mafkid, who gave seven pearls wrapped up in a napkin, wrapped up in a scarf. He gave it to Ramesha to hold for him. Right? Seven pearls wrapped up. Shachiv Ramesha, full of pocket. And the shomer, Rav Meisha, died. And he did not pocket, right? He didn't tell his children anything about the properties that he had. Rashi says he died suddenly, and he didn't have time to discuss all the stuff. So the children are looking through their father's property, and they find these pearls inside this scarf. Also, come Derbi Yami, and obviously the guy comes and wants his pearls back. And they come in front of Rabbi Yami. Our mother Rabbi Yami says, Chada diyadanebe Rabbi Meisha bar breder of Yeshua ben Levi t'lo amid. Number one, I know Rabbi Meisha wasn't rich. I know he wasn't rich, so what is he doing with these pearls? So that's already tips you off that these might not be his. The ode, and number two, Hakaya Simana. And this guy who came gave Simanim. He said it was seven pearls wrapped up in a scarf, so obviously it must be his. Tosfos on top points out, interesting, what if Rav Meisha had been alive? What if Rav Meisha had been alive? And he had been said it was his. Afagav de Iluhar Mesha Kayev Avitan Shalihu Hayemehemin Afagav de Lo Amid. Right? Is rich a factor? So the Gemara seems to say the fact that he was rich, wasn't rich is a factor. Well, it's one factor. But if Mesha would have been alive, even though he wasn't rich, and he would have said, I found this yesterday, it was given to me, he would have been believed. So what is rich even a factor for? Right? It wouldn't be a factor against Mesha. And the Yisomim was saying, we don't know. So says Tosfos is an important principle. There is a principle of ta'anin al yasmi, which we've had before, that Bezdin always claims for Yisomim, claims that the dead person might have claimed. Says Tosfos, you don't do that by a milsa de lo shchicha. You don't have to say ta'aninan by a milsa de lo shchicha. So, to say the rich person has these pearls is a milsa de lo shchicha, and therefore, we wouldn't say it. Okay, continue the Gemara. So, the Rav Ami says, give it to the person. V'lo Amran, but we only give it to this person that came to claim the pearls, el de lo ragel da'ayel v'nafak lahazav. Only by somebody who was not a regular in Rav Meisha's house. Because then you assume, how does he know? How does he know about these pearls? Avol ragel da'ayel v'nafak lahazav, but if he's a regular in the house, se'eme in shachrina afkid, v'iyu metzachazav, so that maybe he happened to be there when somebody else came and deposited the pearls next to Rav Meisha. So therefore, it wouldn't be allowed, and therefore the Yisomim get to keep them. The Rashi here quotes Rabbeinu Yonah, who says, and the Yisomim are allowed to use them. It's not a stalemate. You don't have to wait till Eliyahu Navi comes. Once we paskin, like they could use them, they could use them. Even though there's this other guy screaming that it's his pearls, so what? He does, he has to prove it somehow. He should have had a shtar written. Weiter. There was a person that put a silver goblet next to Chasa. Shachav Chasa v'lapake. Chasa died again and was not mitzaveh his bias. Azal kabbi Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, they came to Rav Nachman. What's the din? Amalu yadana bein b'chaz v'lo amin. I know Chasa wasn't rich. V'yod al-kha yav siman. And also gave simanim about the silver coast. V'lo amin d'lo ragad l'ayav anavag l'hasam. And it only applies that we'll give it to this guy if he's not a regular in the house. Av'lo ragad l'anavag l'hasam. Emer in the shachrina afkid v'iyu metzah Chasa. Right? If he was a regular, then we say maybe he happened to see it. Next, Hug the Ifkin Matachse Bay Rav Dimi, Achud Rav Safra. somebody deposited special silk clothing next to this person, Rav Dimi. Shachar Rav Dimi v'lo pocket and he died. Aslakai medir Rav Abba, again, Amalu, Chadda came to Rav Abba, what's the din? Amalu, he says to them, Chadda diyadana baby Rav Dimi, dir Amin, I know Rav Dimi wasn't rich. The Yod Hakal Yav Simana, and he gave Simanim, and therefore it must be his. And this is only if he's not a regular in the house. Same story three times. Why do you need the same story? Sarachin, yeah, right, the same story, you know, each time to teach you, maybe it applies to all different things. Next. Hahuda Amalahu Nakhasai Lutuvya. Man on his deathbed says, my Nakhasim should go to Tuvya. Shachiva, the man died. Asa Tuvya. So, a Tuvya comes. I'm the Tuvya. He wanted to give the stuff to me. I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Haribat Tuvya. Tuvya's here. Must be his. Give it to this Tuvya. Omar, the Rush says, even if there are other Tuvyas in the city. But if this guy came right after the guy died, it must be that this is the Tuvya that he had in mind. We'll talk about more about that in a minute. Let's finish first. Omar Tuvya va'asa Rav Tuvya. But if Tuvya, if he said, give it to Tuvya, and Rav Tuvya came, l'Tuvya amar la Tuvya la'omar. He didn't say Rav Tuvya. Right? He didn't say the rabbi. Right? So he just said Tuvya. So it must be, he can't give it to Rav Tuvya. The Yiddish to Gispe, but what if he's his colleague? What if Rav Tuvya is a Rebbe in Yeshiva, and the guy who died is Rebbe in Yeshiva? And he calls him Tuvya, so then Agispe. So then he's a friend of his, and you can assume they just called him by his first name. Also, Shnei Tuvya, but what if two Tuvyas come? Right? Shachin, the Tamar Chacham, Tamar Chacham, Kodim. So if it, one Tuvya is a neighbor, and one the Tamar Chacham, you give it to the Tamar Chacham. Why? Beautiful Rashi. The Mistama, Adam Matstik Maisav, Lazakos Bishas Misa. Mistama, a person wants to do a mitzvah when he's dying, so therefore it must be he wants to give it to the Tamar Chacham. But if it's a relative or a Talmud Chacham, again the Talmud Chacham goes first. Iboy Luhu, Shachin the Karav Mai. What about Shachin and Karov, a neighbor versus a relative? So Tashma, Pasukin Mishle, Tov Shachin Karav Miach Racho, better a close neighbor than a distant brother. So you see a neighbor wins. Shneim Karovim, Shneim Shachinim, Shneim Chachamim. What about if they're exactly equal? Two rabbis, two neighbors, two relatives. Shuda Dedaini. Shuda Dedaini. What does that mean? Machlokas Rashi Tosas, here and elsewhere. Rashi here says, the Dayanim should analyze and try to figure out which one is more is better to give. The Dayanim should figure out which one is Emes. That's what Rashi here says. Was the dead person closer with? Which one did the mace really have kavana for? That is Rashi here and elsewhere. Tosfos here and elsewhere says, you know what Shuda Dayanim means? The Dayan can do whatever he wants. Whatever he wants, it's up to the Dayan. Shuda Dayani. We're stuck. We have no idea. We have no idea. Says Tosas here, Damascus Shuda. Shadayan Yitin Lamirshi Yurtse. Say, ask Tosas, Yim Tomar. So the guy's just going to pay the Dayan off. Shuda Dayani? He's just going to pay the Dayan off. So what do you mean? He can do whatever he wants. Yim Tomar. Again, Yitin Adayan Lamirshi Yitin Lo Yoser Schar. So says Tosas, if Pani pays you off, then you lose your name of the Dayan. You lose your shame Dayan. And if you're not a Dayan anymore. You're not dying anymore. The dying, the makabel agra lav dainu. That's a musa shmus. So that is shuda the dying.
What's wrong with Rashi's way?
So other Gemaras seem to say it's more arbitrary. Uh-huh. So that's why. There is one, we'll end with this. There is a, I'm not going to do the next line because the next line is huge about being mochel ashtar chov. Tremendous. Rabbeinu Tam's coming up on that. Tomorrow's Kofen al Mitzvah Zaseh. We'll end with a Rav Nassan Gestetner. Lahoris Nassan. Rav Nassan Gestetner says in a tshuva, there was a case where somebody left his nechassim to the descendants of so-and-so, that great tzaddik. That's what he writes in his will. I want my nechassim to go to the descendants of so-and-so, the great tzaddik. And that great tzaddik died 100 years ago. And you open up the guy's will, and that's what he says. So there are 10 different families of that great tzaddik living all across the country. Some of them are sitting in Kolel, and some of them are Balabatim, and some of them... So what do you do with all this guy's properties? What do you do with all his millions? So he says, could you figure anything out from our Gemara? Shnei Tuvya! Shnei Tuvya! So you give it to the Talmud Chacham or not, but here, he didn't say a specific person. He said, if you have a choice of two people, then the Gemara says Talmud Chacham wins over a Shachin or a Karov. But what if you don't have a choice? And maybe you give a little bit to everybody. But then he says, the guy obviously didn't want that, because then it's nothing. Everybody gets like a $10. So he goes through the whole thing. So he says it must be, maybe he wanted to do a mitzvah. So he tried to give it to the Aniyim and the Talmid Chachamim. Because that's for sure a mitzvah, and that must be what the guy wanted. But he has a 10-page shuva here about Chelek Zayin, where is this? Chelek Beisim and Kuf Beis in Choshe Mishpat. But again, it comes up, ambiguous wills. Okay, we'll stop here.